this? Okay.
Very new. Very
Thanks,
new.
Nick. Okay. Nick's been to my house a couple times for Thanksgiving. Hi, I'm Valerie. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi.
It's really nice to be with everybody. Is that good right there? Okay. Yeah, I really am an alcoholic, too. And you know what? If you're new here, welcome. And know that we're all together here right now, and we're here till about 9 o'clock, so we're all, you know, nice and safe, and you can just relax and sit back here. And by the way, happy birthday, and then congratulations on the 90 days, even though you got pretty kicked to the curb when you came up here. So, you know, like a lot of us, I started drinking about 12 years old. I'm from Massachusetts, and it was just what everybody else did. All of my family did it, and so at 12 years old, I picked up a drink, and I can remember the first experience was, you know, with the spins and trying to put my foot down from the bed, and then it continued until I was 38 years old, really. And when it was read about, you know, the countless vain attempts, I did countless vain attempts, and I couldn't understand what was going on with me. I tried all different forms of trying to help myself get well. I never knew that it was alcohol. In the end, for me, alcohol had me alone. It wanted me dead. I was helpless, hopeless, and I was drinking vodka in the morning just so that I could get right. So, you know, in the end, where if, you know, and I had the vodka hidden all over the house, and if I couldn't find it, I'd be in a total panic thinking that I'd have to try to get to the liquor store. And if I was fortunate enough to find some in a bottle that was some, you know, one of my stash places, I felt like I found the Holy Grail. And, I mean, it was just that bad. It's you know, one of those funny things that we, you know, that we share in here and we get to laugh together about. But I have one DUI, and I got it, I guess, about 17 years ago. I lived in Oceanside at the time, and I needed that vodka just to get right in the morning. And so just right was maybe like about a half a pint. But that particular morning, I was going to go to an AA meeting and meet this woman who was going to become my new sponsor. And so I hopped on the freeway, I got off at Oceanside Boulevard, and I slammed into the back of a pickup truck. And when I did that, I got out of the car, and I went over and, you know, are you okay? And he's like, yeah, I'm fine. And I said, great. Well, I was going to this AA meeting around the corner. And he said, oh, I'm going there too. I'm like, oh, well, can I catch a ride with you after the tow truck comes? Well, it just so happens that the CHP is right down the street from there. And instead of a tow truck coming up behind, the CHP officer came up behind. And that's when when the vodka really kicked in. And when he came to give me the sobriety test, I said, just go ahead and take me. And so that's on the way to an AA meeting, 8 o'clock Sunday morning. At the end of the day, when I finally got out, like any good alcoholic, the first thing I had my ride do was take me to Mr. A's over in Vista so that I could get another pint of vodka, just so I could, you know, get right again. And then before I could finally make it to my court date, I ended up with a warrant because I couldn't not drink to get to the court, you know, for that situation. And then when the cops came and arrested me for that warrant and they took me to jail, then I had a bond posted, and then I couldn't show up for the bond. And so this bond was out there, and I wasn't showing up, and it was Labor Day weekend, and I had been getting phone calls at my mother's house. You know, oh, is Valerie there? No, this is her mother. Can I take a message? And this one particular time, the gentleman called. So I call him the bounty hunter. But, it was a skip trace or whatever. But he was my bounty hunter. And he called, and I happened to be there with a few people for Labor Day, and we were, having a couple of beers, whatever. And all of a sudden, I saw this shadow, like, go past the front living room window. And all of a sudden, there was a knock at the door, and I knew what was going on. And the people that were in my house had no idea what was going on. And I bolted out the back door, and I went and I, like, hid in the garage. And so Harry's trying to find me, and he comes out, and he knows I'm in the garage. He's like, "Valerie, just come out. Come on out. I know you're in there." And I remember standing in my mother's garage going, "All right, you know, this is it." And I opened the door, and he was okay. I mean, he didn't, like, take me off to jail. He said, "We need to get you back into court, and we'll take you on Tuesday." Monday was a holiday. So we ended up going into court, and I ended up having you end up having to go on probation, and I went to this counselor, and it just so happened. Oh, sorry. So that happened, but then there was another time. I have 5 minutes. Oh, I better just quit. Anyway, the bottom line was when I ended up going in to see who the guy was that was my counselor, it turned out that he happened to have been a counselor at the Serenity House, which is where I had been trying to get into for the longest time. And so it was like my first God shot. You know, it was my higher power. I'm sober only by the grace of God and by the practice of these principles. And so I ended up in Serenity House and got a good foundation for my recovery. I come from where my mother had insane alcoholism, and my mother's got some brain damage from it. My father also suffered from alcoholism, and he committed suicide back in 93. And, you know, so those were powers of example that I had, you know, with my parents. And you'd think for normal people, they probably look, "Well, that should have been enough for you to not drink." Well, it's not, because I'm an alcoholic. It's not about, you know, my parents. This is my journey. And when I was at Serenity House, I got a really good foundation about, you know, I got a sponsor, I did the steps, I'll say what's going on today. I have a sponsor, I work the steps, I have a home group, I have commitments, I have an H&I commitment, I have sponsees, I'm employable today, I have a blast, we are not a glum lot. I have so much fun in Alcoholics Anonymous. I love to go dancing, I love music. I just did stand-up paddleboard yoga with my grand sponsor today. I have so much fun. And the highlight of it is, like I said, my parents were the two influences in my life, you know, the powers of example. And for me, coming in here, I got to be a power of example to my son. He's like the age all you guys are back there. He's like about 35, 36. And he found his way into the halls. And so I was a power, not you guys, not you, Kent. I was like back over there. And I was a power of example to him. I was able to be a power of example to him, and he's coming up on 10 years of sobriety. It's just so awesome. And also, the other gift that I have is I have a precious 6-year-old grandson named Sage, who is my world. And I wouldn't have him in my life, you know, if I was still out there. To be quite honest, if I had gone back out there, I couldn't share about a relapse I had. I had 12 years of continuous sobriety and picked up, but that's because of my arrogance being an alcoholic and not allowing my higher power to take care of business for me. So the next person that you're going to hear speaking is my husband. We met at a coffee pot at an AA meeting in a church basement in Marshfield, Massachusetts. Oh, God, a long time, 15 years, or how long? Something, I don't know, a while ago. I met him a while ago. So two sickies can make a welly. And thanks for letting me share.